fade away by Moores.
In Play with Craig Maddock, made possible by Horton in Britain, a worldwide supplier of engine cooling systems and proud member of the community for more than four decades. HortonWW.com. Welcome to another edition of In Play. I'm Craig Maddock. Today's guest was a multi-sport athlete, quarterback for two consecutive high school football titles, twice played on two state runner-up basketball squads, but wound up playing baseball. Drafted by Kansas City in 2008, and it would take 7 years playing in the minors before that big day came, being called up to the bigs. The O'Gorman Knight, the Wichita State Shocker, the Kansas City Royal, the San Diego Padre, he's Dusty Coleman. D-Man, hey, welcome to In Play.
Hey, thanks for having me. I appreciate it. It's good to talk to you again.
I'm fascinated with athletes who battle their way trying to get to the highest level, you know, especially baseball, where sometimes it's years between getting drafted and making it to the big leagues. Yeah, I mean, if you even get there at all. But you played multiple sports in high school, but was baseball always your favorite sport?
Looking back, I was always like, you know, I always said whatever sport was in season was my favorite, but baseball was definitely the first love. I mean, my dad used to take me to Rockies games all the time growing up in the summer, and I just loved going to that. I looked forward to it every year, and I was like, that's just what I want to do when I grow up. And baseball was one of the sports where when that last game hit, I was always kind of bummed. Like, I wanted to keep going. In some of the other sports, I was just kind of ready for that next one to start. But baseball was never one of those. I always enjoyed kicking ground balls and hitting and practicing, and it never got boring to me. And so that's what kind of led me to make that decision.
You've got two sisters. What was sports like growing up with the family?
Oh, it was probably like most families now, just all over the place, going to different sporting events. I mean, I remember growing up going to my sister's soccer and basketball tournaments all the time. And it was always pretty competitive at the house, especially in the basement basketball hoop that we competed in all the time. So it was fun. And obviously my dad loves sports too. So
I kind of might know the answer to this, but where did you get your competitive edge?
I would say probably more my dad. He's definitely got that competitive spirit. My mom's got a little bit too, but my dad probably pushed that side of me more, which, you know, I'm really thankful for.
You went to O'Gorman High School in Sioux Falls. You had success in football your junior and senior years. You quarterback the Knights to consecutive football titles. When was the first time, though, you were told that you were going to play quarterback for the Knights?
I think it was kind of right after my sophomore year, and Tommy Hill was graduating, and I had played on the sophomore team, quarterback, and some of the JV, so I kind of felt like I had a good chance at winning that spot, and put in a lot of work in the off season, and went to camps and stuff like that, so that was kind of when I knew that was the transition I wanted to make from kind of being that running back DB to really try to take over the quarterback spot for the team.
Steve Keeter was your coach at O'Gorman. He must have had his eyes on you pretty early for that decision.
Well, he never told me that, but maybe he did. I mean, it was probably me or Tyler, was going to be the option, but
Tyler Schulte. Yeah.
He's faster and can jump higher. So let's put him at wide out.
Well, you're going to football camps, but, you know, you're also trying to play baseball. I mean, you're able to juggle both of those after your sophomore year?
Yeah, I would always try to. I mean, there was definitely guys that did more football training than I did just because of the baseball schedule that I was playing, and we were traveling quite a bit. But I would always try to get to, like, some Iowa camps, some Minnesota camps, and just try to get my name out there and learn as much as I could on the quarterback side. And DB too. I was, you know, my dad played defensive back in college, so I figured that could be a route for me too.
2004, it's your junior year at O'Gorman, and the Knights make the championship game. It's against Roosevelt. Roosevelt's first trip to the Dome that year. I mean, two really good teams. You win the game 14-7. You score two touchdowns. You're named the Joe Robbie MVP. Man, both teams were stacked with talent for that game. What do you remember the most about that 2004 championship game?
Oh, I just remember that. I mean, we had a great leader in Josh Mahoney. I learned a ton from him, especially from that year going into my senior year, where that kind of switched over to me and Tyler and some of the seniors on our team. But I just felt like we were really well-rounded as a team. We weren't the biggest, but we had a lot of heart and a lot of fight. And that game was a battle. I mean, it was – I remember being exhausted at the end of it because I think I ran the ball quite a bit. And it was really fun because the other side, Roosevelt, which we had already battled throughout the whole season that year, close games. And those are all my buddies from baseball. Like, all my best buddies from baseball were on the other side, like Ryan Breitling and Pete Rose. So there was some bragging rights on the line, and it made it fun.
Well, you and Mahoney, you were both 1,000-yard rushers. Of course, you had that dangerous wide receiver with Tyler Schulte. But you also had to play both ways. Both ways, you guys. I mean, Mahoney was linebacker. You and Schulte were cornerbacks. You guys never left the field during the game.
Yeah, we were in great shape. I loved it that way, though. I mean, it kept you in the game. You always felt like you had a feel and the pulse of what was going on, and I loved both sides of it. I know you don't quite see that as much anymore. At least, I mean, the games I watched down here in Kansas City, too, you don't see a lot of as many two ways. But yeah, I loved it. It was so fun.
Second quarter could have been a game-changing play for Roosevelt. You remember this play? Fredenberg of Roosevelt, that huge defensive lineman, intercepting your pass. I think you were trying to throw a screen on that play.
Yeah, I think I forgot that he was like 6'7 or 6'8. So when yep. I tried to dump it over him, he just stuck his arms up and snagged it. And luckily, I can't remember who forced the fumble. Maybe Chris Isaacson.
I think it was, yes.
Came back and tackled him and forced a fumble. That was a big relief, big swing from, you know, almost pretty much giving him a touchdown because it was in our side of the field, and, you know, getting the ball back. And I think we drove for a little while. I can't remember if we scored on that drive or not, but
14-7 was the final you wanted. You had to have a little bit of a defensive stand at the end. And of course you guys with that game, your defense was pretty darn solid against a really good Roosevelt team.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, Josh Mahoney as the middle linebacker, Isaacson was great coming off the edge. So we had a lot of talent on that side and speed too. I felt like a defensive team that had a lot of speed. So it was hard to, we didn't give up a bunch of big plays. We got to you pretty quick.
Well, you had a lot of youth on the team too. And you all came back the following year, 2005, you're seniors now, you're back in the championship game, and you guys had no problem beating Yankton 42-7. Tyler Schulte is the Joe Robbie MVP. What was special about that 2005 team?
Oh, I mean, those are all like my best buds. So it was a fun team getting to compete with guys you spent all your time with, and we worked so hard together in the off season, especially me with like the wideouts, just making sure we were on the same page and putting in the work, and just to kind of see the fruits at the end of it, you know, at the last hurrah of your high school football career and get it come out on top, beating a couple of good teams to get there too. And, you know, it's pretty easy when you got talented guys like Tyler and Levi Pohl and some of the other Ryan Isaacson guys on the team that, you know, I leaned on quite a bit, and they carried us.
At that time, was there any thought of not playing college baseball and maybe playing football instead?
Oh, no doubt. I mean, I would say all that summer, I did the same kind of thing, did a lot of camps and was looking, you know, trying to decide what I was going to do. And so there was some football teams reaching out, and yeah, I definitely could have decided on football. I don't know. I really wanted to go D1, and I wasn't getting as much traction there. So once I went to Wichita State and they talked to me and wanted to bring me on, and Gene Stevenson said he thought I had a chance at going pro, it really just kind of like solidified my mind. I was like, that's what I want to do. And I think I signed at the November deadline or whatever. So I would say the first part of the season, I was football, but then towards the end, I just realized baseball is where I wanted to go.
Yeah, you know, you also played basketball at O'Gorman. You guys made it to consecutive title games your junior and senior year. Well, you lost to what, Huron in the when you were a junior, and then Mitchell as a senior. What was the best part of playing basketball at O'Gorman? Knowing you could certainly play football and baseball was in the back of your mind, but what about playing basketball for the Knights?
Oh, basketball is fun. I mean, of all the sports that I played, basketball is the one I probably still play the most with my kids out in the front yard or going and playing some pickup ball. But yeah, it was so fun. I mean, Mitch Begeman and Steve Smith and those guys that were ahead of me when I was younger and just how talented they were. And especially Mitch as a shooter.
Yeah, and Mitch is now coaching. He's had success as a coach.
I know. He's been doing awesome, which is great to see. He deserves it. He knows the game so well. Obviously, he's got the pedigree to be a great coach with his dad. And, you know, it's fun. It's funny that we ended up winning it as seniors when I feel like it was maybe our least basketball-focused team. Most of us were, you know, football players figuring it out on the basketball court.
Well, during this whole time at O'Gorman, you know, in the summer, you're involved with this baseball traveling team. When did that start? You know, how many games would you play during the summer?
Oh, shoot. That started when I was really young. I think we started, like, our travel team maybe at, like, 10, and we were, like, the Sioux Falls Diamond Kings and spent a lot of our summers in Omaha, come down to Kansas City, and just trying to get some exposure and play some good teams that, you know, probably get to play a little bit more baseball than we did up north. And it just kind of developed. And I think we switched over to the South Dakota Wildcats at some point, but it was, like I said, most of those guys from Roosevelt, like Pete Rose and Ryan Breitling and Blake Dickerson, and a lot of my Ian Strum, who ended up playing at Augie. So I think we played a lot of baseball. We traveled quite a bit. I think we probably played 60 games a summer, probably.
Those are lifetime relationships too, isn't it, with that traveling team, huh?
Yeah, I wish I got to see them more often and talk to them more often. But whenever I do see all my buddies from whatever sport, it's always pretty quick to get back into, you know, back when we got to hang out quite a bit.
You did pick to play college baseball at Wichita State. So why the Shockers? What was the biggest reason you wanted to go there?
You know, to be honest, I didn't know too much about the program. I mean, I knew they had some really good seasons and were a good program. But when I went down to a baseball tournament with that Wildcats team, and we played a team from Wichita, they had a coach who's really tight with the assistant coach at Wichita State, and they told me to come down to a camp, and I got to see the campus, and I got to see their awesome facilities, and come to this camp. And there's also another guy at the camp that they were looking at who ended up being the first rounder, and they were kind of like pitting me and him against each other. And at the end of it, he offered me and said that he thought I had a chance to go pro, and that's just what kind of sold me on it, honestly. I've always thought I maybe had that chance, that potential, but nobody had really told me about it besides, you know, me. And to have somebody with his, you know, 30 years of experience say that I had the talent to do it was kind of just sold me.
2006, the summer, you're a member of the Wichita Gators. Who were the Gators?
Yeah, the Gators were the team that we played the year before that beat my South Dakota Wildcats team to go to the NBC National Tournament, which is like a big college tournament, and they invite one high school team to go to it. And they beat us to go to it the year before. And one of the guys on the team, Ryan Jones, who ended up being the right fielder for Wichita State with me, and one of my best friends, he kept calling me all winter long, was because he knew that he was going there. I knew I was going to Wichita State, so he kept saying how nice the weather was down there. And he was trying to like recruit me to come play for the team. And so I ended up making the decision, go lived with the host family, and got to know a couple other guys that were going to go to Wichita State, which was a good little transition for me.
So 2007, you're a freshman at Wichita State. You know, you played 63 games, mostly at shortstop, although you had a couple of games at second base. Let's see, you batted 264, 32 runs, 10 doubles, couple of homers, 19 RBI. That sounds like you were fairly comfortable playing for the Shockers as a freshman.
Yeah, it was it was definitely a big learning curve going from high school to college, and just the caliber of pitching that you're playing or that you're facing. So there was a lot of adjustments to go through there in that year. But I was thankful that Gene kind of gave me some room to kind of go through some of those learning curves and, you know, didn't panic button, like bench me if I had a tough game, and just let me kind of work through some issues and build confidence. And, you know, I think I was going to start as like maybe a potential red shirt, but because I could pitch, they were like, they brought me along on the trip, our very first trip. And I ended up getting to go in and played well and kind of didn't turn back. I think I was starting shortstop after four or five games into the season.
Well, talking about pitching, you did come in and you were a relief pitcher like five times. You know, what was that like? I mean, that wasn't something you normally did. What was the reasoning? Were they trying to maybe see if you would become a pitcher full time instead of playing shortstop?
No, I don't think they ever thought they would switch me over to full time pitcher. I just think, you know, in college you got to kind of utilize what you have, and I could do pretty well, come in like certain closer type situations or help get out of a jam, you know, if our bullpen was struggling. So that's kind of the role it became. I didn't really get a ton of innings. It was more, we had guys that needed a rest that threw too much. And you know, I think if maybe I would have maybe had some more success there, I would have got more opportunities, but it was kind of the situation where it was like, come in from shortstop, not too much, but I usually rarely ever got to go to the bullpen, get loose. It's just almost like little league, like come in from short and go pitch.
Yeah, it's like when you're either ahead or behind 19-0 and they bring in the left fielder, whatever, just to save the arms of the pitchers. But this wasn't like that at all, was it? So here comes 2008. You know, you've completed your freshman year at Wichita State, and here comes the Major League Baseball draft, 2008. Did you have any inclination that you were going to get drafted that year?
I did. I think after I had a really good start to my sophomore year, and when we traveled out west and played some good teams like Long Beach State, I had a few good games and hit a couple home runs at their park that is historically like kind of harder to hit some home runs on. And I feel like after that, kind of put me on the map a little bit. And so I had people reaching out to me and filling out more like MLB draft questionnaires and stuff like that. So I felt like if my season continued in a good way, that there was a chance. And obviously we had a pretty talented team that made the Super Regionals, which helps when you're trying to get drafted and you're playing in some big games and on TV and stuff. So I had a feeling. I wasn't sure where I would fall or if I'd go, but I knew that there was a chance.
What was the phone call like from the officials from Oakland?
It was crazy. Yeah, I mean, at the time, so I got drafted in the 28th round, and I was a sophomore, so I still had some leverage and decided I was going to go out and play in the Cape Cod League. Well, actually, I did like the Team USA trials, and then for the college team, and then played in the Cape Cod League out there and was playing well. And my agent, who was at that time, you know, there wasn't NIL. He was my advisor, called me and said that their first offer to him was, you know, above the slot round that I was at. And, you know, something that the number that they brought up was when I had to seriously consider. I was like, oh my gosh, this might happen. Like, I might get a, make this decision and go kind of start chasing the dream.
So, yeah, you had to either accept to play for the minors, play in the minors for Oakland, or go back to Wichita State. How long did that decision last? How long was it before you made that decision?
I felt like it went super fast. it was right towards the end of the summer. So I think it was probably a 3 or 4 day thing where they got to the point where the offer they were making was, you know, something that I felt like I couldn't turn down, or at least I had to seriously think about. Obviously, I loved Wichita State and was also looking forward to going back there and playing my junior year, but we had a really good team that lost quite a bit of players to the draft that were leaving. So I knew there was, you know, who knows how that next season would go. And I just felt like they kind of gave me a second round slot. So to go back and, you know, have the pressure to, if I needed to do better, I had to be a first rounder. So I just was ready to go take the chance.
From the draft in 2008, you know, it's going to be 7 years playing in the minors with a bunch of teams. You know, let's start with Kane County Cougars. What was that first year like, that experience playing at that level?
It was great. I mean, I was lucky enough to be on a team with, you know, some guys that were a little older than me, some guys that have been in that league a few years, and I actually got a really great great roommate who was a huge influence on me, just, you know, on and off the field. So it was a great experience, a lot of learning curves with some arms that I hadn't seen before, some sliders that I'd never seen before, you know, even in college ball. But yeah, it was a really fun year.
So then a couple of years later, 2011, you're with the Stockton Ports, California League there. How much different was that just a couple of years later?
That was different. I had a year off just battling through an injury. So, you know, I kind of had to get back into the flow of playing again and, you know, missing so many at-bats. So I had a little learning curve again, just, you know, kind of getting my feet wet again, seeing some pitches. And, you know, in that league, there's the Pacific Coast League, which is AAA. So you see also out there on the West Coast, so you see a lot of guys that'll kind of bounce, you know, back and forth from AAA to single A, even big leaguers that'll come down from rehab starts. And so you get to see a wide variety of talent and experience. And that was a really fun year.
2013, you're playing for Midland, the Rockhounds, right? I think they were the Rockhounds.
Yeah, Midland Rockhounds, yep.
So 5 years you're in the minors. And during this whole time, were you thinking about, you know, when's that call going to come up with the big club?
Yeah, of course. You're always thinking about that. You know, if you're playing well, you're wondering when that call is going to be. You know, if you're struggling, you're wondering if, you know, you'll get sent down or if they'll call somebody else and give another opportunity. So there's always that in the back of your mind, but I mean, that stuff you can't necessarily control. I mean, baseball is a very mental game. So if you're focusing on that stuff, you're not going to, you know, play as well as you can. So that's part of the grind of the minor leagues. But you know, it's all the best players are the ones that can go out there and consistently put in their best effort and, you know, focus on what they can control. And so I try to do that. You know, it took me a little bit longer than most to kind of figure that out, but
over that time, how much better of a player were you getting?
Oh, I think I got a lot better. I mean, I was consistently getting better defensively. I mean, I knew that was kind of where my biggest skill set was, you know, being able to be a really good shortstop, but also bounce around if they needed me to any other position. And I felt like, you know, at least for my teams there, I was able to show that I had some durability too. I think over my 3 years in Midland and Double A, I think I probably played all but, you know, five, six games of the seasons combined, you know, so I was able to go out there every day and put in good effort and continually try to work on, you know, getting better at the plate as well to show that I can be an asset to a team on that side of the ball as well.
Well, life was going to get crazy now. It's January of 2015. And you signed a minor league deal with the Kansas City Royals. What were those conversations like with the Royals compared to what you had when Oakland was first looking at you?
You know, at that point, I mean, you're not really having a ton of conversations with the team. It's more your agent. So, you know, at that point, I had my first son in October. So I finished up my minor league contract with Oakland. You know, hoping to sign a free agent deal with another team or maybe back with Oakland, who knows, and get to keep playing. But it's especially your first time going through free agency, you're like, hope it's quicker. But, you know, just the whole process of all these teams, you know, thinking about what their first move is in terms of like big league moves, and winter meetings, and then it trickles down, you know, and takes time to when they start looking at who they want to bring in, you know, for minor league camp and those types of things. So I was like, well, shoot, maybe I won't get picked up. So I started looking at jobs. I got a job with Sanford, and I was starting to train with that for Sanford profile. And I was in Sioux Falls at like orientation, and my agent called him and said that the Royals wanted to sign me to a minor league deal and asked me if I wanted to take it. And I was like, heck yeah, let's do it.
Yeah.
I pretty much stopped my training right there. I went in and told the instructor that I'm going to go play baseball. And they were like, all right, cool, good luck. And I just got my car and went back to Kansas City.
And then they sent you to AA Northwest Arkansas. What was that year like? It was about a year, right? Yeah, no, it was even less than that before things really changed. But first you go to Northwest Arkansas. What was that like, knowing that you had, you know, you'd done the rigmarole of travel here and there in the minors?
That was different. You know, I was, you know, hoping, you know, sign a new deal that, you know, I'd at least get a go and start right in AAA with the Royals. But they kind of told me there was a chance that I might start in AA and, you know, play well and get a chance to move up. And, you know, I just kind of didn't worry about that aspect. I went and started playing well there. I had a really good roommate named Hunter Dozier who had a good big league career as well. And, you know, I had a lot of fun with that team. I started off really hot at the plate, playing well defensively. And luckily, I think maybe like a month into the season, I got called up to Omaha and started playing up there.
Well, July of 2015, 7 years after being drafted, you get that call up by Kansas City. How did the club tell you you were coming up?
Yeah, so I was selected to go play for like the minor league Team USA to go play in the Pan American Games. So I knew that was coming up. It was like maybe in a couple days. So I was kind of getting prepared for that. And so we finished up the game and I was at the house or back in my apartment already. And my manager called me and he was like, hey, just want to let you know, you're not gonna be able to go to the Pan America game. So initially I was like bummed. I was like, why, what happened? Like they gave my spot somebody else. And he said that, you know, you're not gonna be able to go cause you're going to go to Kansas City. And I was like, kind of thinking he was joking, but yeah, it was just a very surreal moment. I was, you know, a lot of hard work and years of dedication put into it. And, you know, thinking about my parents and my wife and everybody who supported me through that time, it was a, you know, a moment you'll never forget.
Well, that first day you're with Kansas City, what was it like walking into the locker room, knowing that you were taking a different entrance, maybe this time at Royal Stadium, you know?
Yeah, it was a blur. I mean, I mean, I got very little sleep, you know, after my manager called me, because I knew I had to wake up at like 7-8 o'clock to get in the car, drive to Kansas City and kind of get settled and then head over to the field. And I wasn't exactly sure where to go, where to park. You know, luckily there's people there that kind of helped me find my way, but no, it was all just kind of a surreal day, kind of flew by, you know. It was one of those days I wish I could have like slowed down a little bit more and soaked it all in.
Did not get in the game that day, right?
I did. Yeah. So my very first day I got there, I did end up getting in as a pinch runner at the very end of the game. Unfortunately got thrown out at home by Torrey Hunter, but luckily we ended up in the ninth inning. Yeah. It was not the ideal, first day in the big leagues, but you know, we ended up winning on a walk-off, which was exciting after that. And then, you know, being on a team that, you know, eventually went on to win the World Series, they were playing really well in July. I think we had probably, if I'm remembering right, maybe 3 walk-offs in like the first homestand while I was there. So you got to be part of all those moments and celebrations. And it was pretty cool.
Like, 4 games, 5 at-bats for the Royals? Do you still remember every pitch of those 5 at-bats with the Royals?
I think if I like really sit down, I can kind of picture them all. you know, that first one definitely was kind of a blur. It was kind of an odd moment to get your first at-bat. I was, you know, just sitting in the dugout. It was pretty early in the game, so I wasn't expecting to get in until maybe like, you know, something would happen later, pinch run again or something, especially being in the AL with the DH, you know, there wasn't, you know, as much substitutions. But unfortunately, Mike Moustakas' mom was sick at the time, and his wife came down to the clubhouse and said that, you know, he probably needed to go and go spend some time with his mom. And so I was just sitting on the bench, and Mike was on deck, and they told me to go get my helmet and jump up there. So kind of just like, you're in.
Oh, boy. Well, September of 15, though, the Royals assigned you to AAA Omaha. You know, what were you thinking at the time? I mean, you got the taste of the bigs, but you had to go back to the minors. What was that like?
Yeah, I mean, that was definitely disappointing. You know, getting up to be up there for a little while, I didn't get a ton of playing time, so I feel like I didn't really get to show exactly what I could do. As part of the business, I think they traded for Ben Zobrist right around that time, which, you know, for them, great move, very veteran guy, utility player, obviously had a great playoff, one of the major reasons why they won it. So I totally get it. I was hoping for like a September call-up, but, you know, it just didn't work out. They needed more pitching and they needed extra infielders. So, but, you know, it was still an awesome experience. I love my teammates in Omaha, so I wasn't like bummed to go back and spend time with them and just get to keep playing baseball. But just hoping for another opportunity at that point, you know.
How was family life over this time? You know, since being drafted in 08, you're playing ball 8 years later. You got a wife and a child. What was family life like?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely different. I was very lucky that my wife, you know, decided to kind of sacrifice and just travel with me as much as she could so we could spend time together and, you know, kind of give up on a little bit of her trying to follow her career dreams and stuff like that. So we could spend our time together. And, you know, at the time we weren't sure how it was going to work out, but looking back, we're very thankful that we made that decision. And it's kind of, you know, she would most of the time, come for a road trip or not a road trip, but like a homestand for two. And then when we went on the road, especially when I was with Kansas City, not a very far drive from either Northwest Arkansas or Omaha, she would just go home, spend time with her family, and then come back when I got back in town. I'd kind of wake up every day in the morning early and spend time with my kiddo, which is different than most players, you know, that don't have kids. They're, you know, the games are all night games. So they're sleeping in and I'm waking up and play with my kids. So I'd rather do that anyway.
November 2016, you are in free agency. You're thinking about your future, but a month later, here comes San Diego, and you signed a minor league deal with them. Was the dream of the bigs, was it back?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it never really went away. Even, you know, I was still going through talks with the Royals, and they wanted to sign me back as well. So that was a really tough decision on whether I wanted to go, you know, back and try to make it back up with the Royals or give San Diego a shot. And I just really had good conversations with Andy Green, the manager of the team at that point. I feel like we connected both and kind of personally, just very similar personalities and family life and even career. His career, my career, minor league to little bit big league time are very similar. And so I just kind of felt that connection. He gave me a good feel that I might have, you know, a legitimate shot to make it up there.
Well, let's talk about San Diego. Some 27 games with the Padres. You batted .227, four homers, nine RBI. So what was that game time like? What was it like playing with San Diego?
I loved it. It was, you know, obviously an amazing ballpark there. I really liked playing there. I feel like the major difference from my time with the Royals to my time with the Padres is, you know, I was able to be in big league camps for spring training with the Padres. So I got to know everybody, you know, that was pretty much in AAA and all the guys in the big league. So you kind of build those relationships with the coaches and the players. So once I got up there, it wasn't like, who's this guy? It was like, hey, what's up, Dusty? And like jumped right in. And then it just became, you know, another game, getting out there, doing my work. And, you know, after that first, you know, game of, you know, kind of getting those nerves out of the way, it was just getting to play fun baseball.
Your first home run in Major League Baseball. Describe it.
Yeah, it was, we're playing the Mets. And it was actually a pitcher that he was in AAA most of the season, I think, at that point, or kind of like up and down. So I'd already faced him. I remember facing him in Las Vegas earlier in the season. And so I knew kind of what stuff he had. And he threw me a fastball away early in AAA, and I hit it well. I think I hit a home run to right field as well, or something hard that way. So I was kind of looking for another thing like that. And once he threw it, I put a good swing on it. I wasn't sure if it was going to get out, but I knew I had a chance at, you know, a double or maybe a triple. It was a great feeling.
Were you intimidated at all by any major league pitching? Or, I mean, you couldn't believe you were facing a popular pitcher in the majors?
Oh, no doubt. So that same time frame, I got to face Jacob DeGrom, which, you know, obviously is one of the best arms in the big leagues, you know, as a starter, being able to throw 9,900 consistently. And just getting up to face him, his ball just, you know, it's one of those ones where it comes out of his hand and you feel like it's going to be low, like at your ankles, and it just rides and it stays straight and it's like right knee high. And he just painted three, like 99 mile an hour fastballs away against me. And I was like, wow, okay, that's why he's as good as he is.
You're playing with San Diego. You're playing the LA Angels, I believe. And you hit a two-run home run in that game. What was the dugout like when you're going back to the bench and you hit a homer that's, you know, scoring a couple of runs?
I don't think I ever hit one against the Angels. I hit one against off Garrett Cole and against the Pirates. And I hit one off a guy from the Nationals also. That might have been the one. That one felt really
good. That might have
been. That's the one I hit. I hit it like in the upper deck in like left center.
Nice.
And those are the ones, like, I've never really been a guy to, you know, kind of hit a home run and, as the saying goes, like kind of pimp it and like throw your, do like a bat flip. But that one, you know, right off the bat, I knew that was way gone. And so I kind of just like, you know, tossed the bat and started the trot. And that was kind of, you know, that's a memory I'll always have, being able to say that I've done that in the big leagues.
For the most part, during a Major League Baseball game, what is the dugout like?
It's kind of similar to a minor league dugout. I mean, there's obviously a little bit more focus and intensity, and obviously the fans are louder, but you know, most of the time you just have guys like goofing around, playing little games, but also very focused on what's going on at the same time. And everybody's a professional, so they know like whatever their role is. Like if you're a bench guy and you know you might come in at the end of the game, it's, you know, you have your routine of like, all right, fifth inning, I'm going to go in and start taking some hacks in the cage and start swinging and getting my body loose just in case like I'm needed later on. And yeah, everybody just, you kind of knew how to go about their business in the right way.
I have to think this happened when you were in the minors, whether you were early on, you know, when you're with Midland or Kane County, or you go back to Stockton or whatever, maybe even when you were in the minors with Kansas City or San Diego, there had to be a time where you heard the word South Dakota or Sioux Falls when you were getting ready to bat. Maybe you're in the batter's box. Did you ever hear that?
Oh, all the time, especially like in BP and when people were out there like lining, trying to get autographs and stuff, people would say South Dakota. And if you wanted to like get my attention, like South Dakota or Sioux Falls, I end up like always turning my head and going find that person and trying to talk to him if I could, you know? So I would say there was a bunch of moments where, you know, I got to see people that I hadn't seen in a long time and they just mentioned that. And that's what got their attention. Cause if you yelled like Dusty or whatever, like that's what everybody was saying if they were trying to get talk to me, but if they kind of knew where I was from and all that, that was probably the number one way to get my attention and come over to you.
The most surprising person you ran into, either from Sioux Falls or South Dakota, when you were there out on the road?
Ooh, it's a good question. There was a shout out to one of my buddies from elementary school. His name was Tyler Archer, and big baseball fan, loves the Royals. And I think I saw him at, you know, spring training and like Omaha and in Kansas City. He was like always around, and like he, for some reason, we would always connect and be able to see each other. So I would say him for whatever reason, you know, it's just the elementary school buddy that I would always end up seeing and chatting with him. And he followed my career and such a nice guy. And I'm sure there's plenty of others. So I forgive forgive me if I forget somebody,
sure,
but
sure.
Besides family that I obviously most of the time knew they were coming and got them tickets.
November of 18, you elected free agency again. Did you know that that was going to be it for baseball?
No, I didn't. You know, I mean, the year before was my best year in terms of getting big league time and going back to the Padres, so that, you know, open for another opportunity to kind of stick up there and maybe kind of make myself, you know, more of a big league consistent player. And, you know, just the way the season worked out and the way the minor leagues had become at that point, it was just more of the young talent getting the opportunities, which is, I totally understand as like a baseball GM, you know, if you have these young players, you're trying to see what you got and try to make them as valuable for whatever reason, whether to trade or get them up in the big leagues. It was different than when I first started in minor league ball, where you see, saw a lot, you know, more veteran guys in AAA. You started seeing a lot more younger guys, and, you know, I just found myself, you know, on the bench or as more of a utility backup player, and having a couple kids at that point, wanting to have more. We just decided after the season that, you know, maybe we'll just move on to new things.
What was that last game like? The last game you suited up as a pro baseball player?
Last game, we were in Fresno in AAA. Can't remember if we won or not. I just remember being pretty emotional going up for my last at bat. Just at that point, kind of having a sense of, you know, I wasn't sure if I would play the next year and what that would bring. So I remember being pretty emotional. I think I hit like a hard ground ball to the shortstop or something and got out. But I do remember walking up there and just having a sense of like, oh, this could be it. It was a fun ride.
What is keeping you busy today?
Oh, definitely my family. I have four kiddos, and they're starting to get into enjoying to play sports as well. So I, you know, when I'm done with work, kind of remember back when my dad, you know, really never ever said no to me. Like if I wanted to go shoot hoops or play catch or go hit, he did whatever, you know, most of the time dropped what he was doing and went out with me. So that's kind of the path that I'm trying to do, is be present for my kids and what they want to do and go travel and watch them play sports and just do this family life. And I love it.
Major League Baseball is not a 9-to-5 job, is it?
No, definitely not. No.
And you got to kind of get used to not doing that. Was it hard for you to get used to that?
It was like right when I was done, I was like, I wasn't quite sure what I wanted to do next. I, you know, had a business degree. So I kind of just jumped into medical device sales. I ended up going and interviewing at a company here in Kansas City that, you know, ended up having ownership that was ex-KU baseball players. So right away, I just kind of had a connection with them, and I worked for them for a few years. And, you know, now I work for a healthcare company called Eye Healthcare, which I get to work remote. So it's really great for my family and family life, and being able to, you know, not have to miss any of my kids' practices and just kind of help out with what they have going on. But it's fun. Everybody kind of goes through that little time of like, what do you do after post whatever athletic thing you're chasing, dream you're chasing. And then, you know, for everybody at some point it's done. And, you know, what do you do next?
Have you been to Royal Stadium or San Diego Stadium since you retired from baseball?
I have not been back to Petco in San Diego, but yeah, we try to catch at least a couple Royals games every year. Especially now that my kids are getting a little older, it's a little easier to take them. And my oldest son is super into baseball. So, he definitely is a big Bobby Witt fan. As am I, he's a great player. So yeah, we try to get out there. I wish we got out there more, but usually it's going to his games more than going to Royals games.
One more for you, Dusty. I know you could have played college football. I know you could have. You could have played college basketball. I feel strongly about that. But you chose baseball. If you had to do it all over again, would you choose baseball?
I think so. Yeah. I mean, I really enjoyed my baseball career, you know, even if it you know, didn't quite go exactly how I planned it, but I think it went how God planned it. And I wouldn't have changed anything, and I wouldn't change where I'm at now. There are times where I'd be like, oh man, it would have been fun to go play college football. I mean, as much as I love baseball, football games are the best. I just loved the process of baseball and games and the day to day more than football process and day to day. But I would have loved to gone back and played, you know, in some college football games and see if I could have done it. I think I could have too.
You could have been the next Deion. I mean, he did. he played football and baseball, right?
I know. Maybe if I did it all over again. I remember after I signed with Wichita State, Oklahoma State called me and asked if I wanted to do baseball and walk onto the football team. Maybe if I had to do it all again, I'd try something like that where I could see if I could do both.
Boy, that dangling a carrot right there.
Yeah.
In Play with Craig Maddock is made possible by Horton in Britain, where smiling at work happens all the time. Apply now at HortonWW.com. If you like what you're hearing, please give us a 5-star review wherever you get your podcast. It helps us gain new listeners. This has been In Play with me, Craig Maddock. This is a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.